With that, it's my pleasure to introduce Franco Gasperoni, who has a PhD in computer science and is working as a managing director and a founder of ADA Core, which provides software development environment of ADA, and he has published widely on the issue of open source software, and they have a business model based on that. On top, he's familiar with the ATM market, so I think we have an excellent person here to talk about the issue of creating value with open source in the ATM market. So please, Franco.
Thank you, Mark. The purpose of my talk is to dispel a number of myths that people have: freeware, open source, COTS versus free software or open source. While doing that, I will talk about our business model and the lack of monopoly that free software, FLOSS in general, provides in the commercial industry. So the title of my talk is COTS, FLOSS, and Market Freedom in Safety-Centric Industry. Everything that I will say is placed in the context of places where safety matters. So air traffic management, aerospace in general, avionics, railways, medical devices in certain cases. And I'll talk about COTS. What is COTS? You know what it is, but you have some preconceived idea about COTS, probably. I'll talk about FLOSS, freely licensed open source software. And at the end of the talk, I will have demonstrated how the intersection of FLOSS, freely licensed open source software, and COTS, i.e. COTS, that is available commercially, shrink-wrap, under a FLOSS license, creates a truly free market in the economic sense. And so we say, you know, free software is free as in free beer, or free as in freedom. Another way to view it from a purely business perspective is free software is free as in free market. And what is actually amazing and amusing is that strong proponents of the free market actually take a monopolistic view of it, as I will explain later on. When I came into this room, I didn't know what today's event was about. I learned it as I heard Mark's presentation, and so I think that it would be of value, because this is one of the expectations, at least from Jean-Luc and Mark, that I present a little bit who we are, what we do, and what is our business model, and what are the lessons that could be taken from our experience in your context. So we are an engineering organization focused on ADA. We were born thanks to a $3 million grant from the U.S. Air Force to New York University. That's how this project came to be. And there was a specific clause attached to this $3 million grant, that the software be licensed under the Free Software Foundation GPL license, number one. Number two, that the copyright should be assigned from New York University to the Free Software Foundation. This is what has allowed us to start a commercial company on the work that we did at New York University. So one of the issues that I keep hearing is, well, we put this out, but then it was made proprietary. This can be addressed and solved, at least in part, with the license. Everything that we do is FLOSS, is freely licensed open source software. Everything that we do commercially is COTS. Of course, we have a professional services organization and consulting and training. That's not COTS, obviously. But that's our business, that's our market, that's COTS. Relationship with air traffic management. We have a very strong ATM presence, as I will show later on. And generally speaking, we are both here in Europe and in the States. And what's interesting in terms of our setup is that we are two sister companies. There is a European company owned by Europeans. There is an American company owned by, actually, two-thirds are Europeans as well, but American residents, at least. And we work together as if we were a single company, but from a financial standpoint, everybody takes care of their own regions. What do we do? Our focus is ADA. Yes, we provide solutions for people who do ADA in C, for instance, but our reason of existence is ADA. Whether it's ADA 83, ADA 95, and now the new ADA 2005 standard. And we have two products. GNAP Pro, which is the full-featured ADA development environment, which people in the air traffic management use on systems like HP UX, True64, Linux, Solaris, etc. And we have the GNAP Pro High Integrity Edition, which is used by the aeronautics industry and is embedded in planes like the A380 or the forthcoming Boeing 787 to develop safety critical applications. With respect to quality, there is nothing, and this is the only thing I'll say about quality specifically, there is nothing that a FLOSS license or a restrictively licensed piece of software say about quality. But there is nothing that prevents it either. In terms of our products, they come with a DO1 78B certification, level A, in the context of the avionics industry for a specific type of runtime. Let's now go back to ATM. These are some of our customers in the ATM area. Belgium Control, CNA, DTI, STNA, Eurocontrol, both in Brussels, here, Maastricht, soon to be. Indra, Lockheed ATM in the States, I can't pronounce this, I'm sorry. NAT in the UK, Skyguide in Switzerland, and of course, Thales, both here and in Australia. What's interesting about this picture is that, of course, I know much more the European customers than the US ones, but I did a quick search on our CRM to find ATM in the States, and the obvious one is Lockheed. They have a big group of developers that are supported. There are others, but I don't know them. But it's interesting to see how many European ones, which sort of corresponds to the fragmentation I've been hearing. So I don't know from a business standpoint whether this consolidation is a good thing for us or a bad one. Our business model. We provide a COTS product, or a family of COTS products, with a FLOSS license, i.e. free license open source software. The COTS come bundled with an expertise-based service, which is provided by us, the developers and maintainers of these COTS. And the key point is that the customer interests and ours are aligned, and the quality is guaranteed by this alignment, not necessarily by open source development. What do I mean by this? Well, we sell our solutions as a subscription. They're FLOSS. They have direct access to the experts. This is what people pay. Instead of paying an upfront fee, big upfront fee, and then sort of a small percentage for the maintenance, what they pay for us is the same subscription fee every year. We could certainly adopt this model. There is nothing that would prevent us from adopting it. The nice thing about this is, for us, it provides a recurrent revenue. So this is a much better model for us than this. For the customer, this is a much better model than this. Why? Because once the investment has been made from the customer, they're stuck with the vendor in situation where the COTS is restrictively licensed. If it's not restrictively licensed, they're not stuck with them, and that's the point I will make. But you see, the interests are disaligned here because the vendor is interested in making the sale. So the concentration is on sales and marketing, it's not in helping out the customer to succeed in their project. Here, the alignment is on making sure the customer is happy, because otherwise the customer is not going to renew. And the only way the customer is going to renew is if the customer is happy, because there are no locks in FLOSS license costs. The advantages for the customer, and I'll come back to this, is, well, they have the source code. This may, some people don't care. Some other people care. Eurocontrol in Brussels is very keen in having the source, and the sources, they look into it, and they actually make comments. The key point is this, lock-free. There is no monopoly at all levels. There are no locks in terms of installation on the hardware on your workstation. That's one. But there are no locks in terms of switching from us to somebody else, to asking somebody else to replace us. And I'll talk much more about this later on. And of course, all developers covered by the subscription can use it at any time. Our solution, and this is the key point, is COTS tools with support, with online consulting about how to use the tools, what's the best way to use ADA 95, 2005, the difference between them. And it's a bundle. We don't say, well, if you just want the tool, we'll pay X, and if you just want the service, you'll pay Y. It's a bundle. You like it, you buy it. You don't like it, you don't buy it. We don't separate the prices of the two. That's why we call it a leveraged service. It's a service leveraged on a cost product. Well, these are some of the examples of the help we, of the things we do to help people. How does it work? The customers here has a question. A vast majority of the questions we get are, how do I do this? What's the best way of doing that? You have to realize that today, in our market space, which is very technical, people, for all the tools they're using, whether it's the development environment, the compiler, debuggers, the libraries, and so on, the profilers, they have manuals and manuals and manuals. They don't have time to read all this. So most of the time they say, I have this problem, how do I solve it? And the way it works is that they basically submit us a report either by email or via our customer web server, which is something we've developed with our technology for AIDA technology for web. And it gets directly to the experts. It's not a separate support organization. It's a team of AIDA developers that receive these questions, and hence they're very much in a position to give a very rapid answer to questions of how do I do this, how do I do that. There are obviously, as in every technology, problem reports. In that case, we might say, well, in the current pre-release version, this problem actually has been fixed, and if you want a pre-release, we can make it available to you. Or we can say, oh, here's how you can work around the problem. Or we can say, actually, you know, you misunderstand the semantics, this is the way it works. And of course, this feedback directly from the customer to the development team creates a virtuous cycle, because the input is fed back into product updates and evolution. Just to give you an idea, 80% of our requests are addressed in less than a day. So, in a nutshell, our value proposition is reduce risk. You're there, sure, you could go to the Free Software Foundation, figure out what are the right sources, do your own quality assurance. Just to give you an idea, we have accumulated now over 12 million lines of AIDA and over 10,000 tests for the compiler part alone. So, yeah, you could do your own QA and, you know, but we're there to do that and provide that value and reduce risk in the sense that if you are using the tools and have a question or you're stuck with a problem, we're there to unstuck you, to resolve that problem. The productivity improvement goes exactly along those lines of, well, I don't want to read 1,000-page manuals, or I don't want to look through the code to understand what this, the semantics of this is. And the bottom line is quality. And as I said before, quality is guaranteed by the fact that the customer interests and ours are aligned. So I added this slide just an hour ago. There is something amazing that I keep hearing more and more. I've heard it here. Airbus is also thinking about this with a top case project. It says, man, you know, there's this all open source. What can we do? Airbus is more focused on tools than their core know-how, and flight management system is obviously a different problem than Eurocontrol. But I keep hearing the same things that I heard here. And what this is screaming to is co-ops, software co-ops, software cooperatives. So the AIDA core model could be extended towards software co-ops. What's a software co-op? It's a group of companies, of people, that get together to share their resources, their know-how, to develop software, who have the software be maintained for a long time span and evolve, to develop certification material, whether it's for safety or security, and more generally, to guarantee qualities for the members of the co-op. Note that this co-op extends that notion of open source development. It doesn't have to be an open source co-op or an open co-op. It could be a closed co-op. Note also that a vendor here in Europe could say, well, there's an opportunity. I'll put all my software, create a co-op, make it available to all the ATM operations in Europe with a special type of license, and get this started. Now, let me get to the notion of free market and monopoly. My point, my objective here is to show that cost, that license under FLOSS, is the ultimate free market. What's a free market? Well, we all know that it's a market where exchanges are voluntary and unconstrained, and prices are set by supply and demand. Monopoly is all the opposite. It's basically a place where you're stuck. You wanted to place a phone call 20 years ago or 25 years ago in the States, you were stuck, you had to go to AT&T. 15 years ago in Europe, you were stuck, you had to go to your local operator. Tobacco is still a monopoly today, at least in France. Now let's go on to the software market. So you have your system with various components. Do you reuse, do you build, do you subcontract, do you buy costs? Let's concentrate on costs for a second. Why do people do talks?
Well, they want to share costs. You know, you can always have the option of having someone build the software for you and owning it. You know, you could contract this. In retrospect, one of the things that I realized in this talk is if each individual ATM center in Europe, when they put the bid out, said, and the licensing rule is that we have the right to do whatever we want with the sources and the software, it would make it much easier for Eurocontrol now to go to everyone, since all the ATM centers would own their software, and say, so let's take the best of each and let's try to do the ultimate system. And this sharing of cost is for creation, industrialization, support, etc., repair and evolution of software between users that have similar needs. What does the COTS vendor sell? Two things, the COTS and the support over the entire life cycle. What if? What if you're happy with their support, but their prices are high because COTS of equivalent quality and of equivalent support provided by the vendor are cheaper? So he says, well, if I had adopted that, it would be cheaper and I would have the same results. What if you're happy with the costs, but you're unhappy with the vendor support? They don't help you fixing it, they don't customize it for you, they don't help you out with updates or maintenance. What are your options? Well, your options in a free market are three. You can ask help from an additional organization, for instance, for training, help, advice on how to customize things. You can keep the COTS and switch support organization, or you can switch COTS. Key point, switching COTS in this industry costs an arm and a leg when they are a serious component of the infrastructure, because the life cycle is complex. And even in this case, for instance, for embedded software that's flying today, you have to keep the COTS because it has been deployed and you have to have maintenance for it for the next 20 to 40 years. Okay, quick one. Copyright. Software is copyrighted, like cinematography, music, books, and I discovered architecture. This gives you basically a monopoly, or potentially a monopoly. How? Well, let me go back one slide. Source and object code is copyrighted. Copyright law controls, or gives you the right to control, i.e. gives you the author, or the copyright holder, I should say, the monopoly over what to do with that. So what you can do is give people or users a license that says, I'm giving you this software or a copy of this software under these conditions, and with these things you can do A, B, and C, but not D, E, and F, for instance. So at this point it's a potential monopoly, but not quite a monopoly. Flaws. Well, you know that flaws we've talked about is basically an issue of license, is put the emphasis on freedom. Take advantage of copyright to say, this software is given to you under copyright, under law of the copyright, with the following software license, and this software license has this rule which guarantee and preserve your freedom as a user. Open source software, on the other hand, or the open source development, is all about the community. So these are two orthogonal issues, in some sense, which intersect, because to have this community, you basically need to have a license that enables that community to exist. So people at the beginning tried to smart out the community, like Apple did with their APSL version 1.x license, but people cried foul. And so that's how the OSI initiative came about. And today, the difference between open source software and free software is philosophical. Open source is about a development methodology. Free software is about license freedom. In practice, these two, at the licensing level, correspond pretty much, except a couple of rare exceptions. And I call this FLOSS, Freely Licensed Open Source Software, which in Europe is also used as free and libre open source software. Okay, so there are now two types of COTS. You can use a restrictive license on your COTS, and that's what I call an RL COTS. So you can use a FLOSS license COTS. For instance, this you have Microsoft. Obviously, the license on Windows and other tools from Microsoft is restricted. And here you have AdaCore, which gives its costs with a FLOSS license, the GPL and the GMGPL, to be specific. Okay, let's go on to monopoly. Copyright can be used, it doesn't necessarily imply, can be used to establish a monopoly for COTS software customization, changes, evolution, a monopoly for support and a monopoly for who provides the certification material. What's the duration of this monopoly? And this is the key point. Life plus 70 years for humans, 70 years after for publication for corporations, and that's 95 in the US. So in practice, for software, this is an eternal monopoly. If you're using restrictively licensed costs, basically you have a monopoly for support, customization, evolution, monopoly for support, and a monopoly for certification material. What it means that if you're in this space, once you made the initial purchase of your costs, you are stuck with your cost vendor. So if you realize you're unhappy quickly, you can change quickly without too much cost. Well, apart from the initial investment. If you realize you're unhappy down the line, you are stuck. With floss license costs, there is no vendor lock-in for support, for modification, and for certification material. And floss and costs converge to provide the ultimate free market. So let me give you four examples out of GNAP, because all of this is theoretical. I want to make it very concrete. No monopoly. A third party that had nothing to do and has nothing to do with us has used our technology to produce a compiler for a radiation-hardened 32-bit chip. Fine, we weren't really interested in the market at the beginning. Now we are, and we're in this market, and we're competing with our own technology. Example two. An independent tool vendor has used our technology to provide a tool to automatically detect runtime errors statically for ADA software. They built in-house expertise and they supported themselves. So, you know, sometimes we get a call that says, hey, you know, can you help us out? Says, sure, you know, we can do this and this and that. We'll have a certain cost. And, we don't have that much money. And, you know, they do it themselves. Example number three. There was a library where there was a limitation of 32 sockets, was for mainly for historical reasons. A customer said, no, that's not good for us. We're in a position to change that constant, for instance, from 32 to whatever is provided by VxWorks. We compiled and we suggested that we fix this. They had access to the sources, and if it said, no, forget it, they could have very easily, if they had wanted, said goodbye, we'll get a service ourselves or from another vendor. Last example, this is particularly interesting because it's a Eurocontrol one. There was a specific tool that was needed by Eurocontrol in Brussels. And to be cost effective, this tool had to leverage on our compiler technology. Otherwise, it would have been a fairly expensive development. So Eurocontrol did a call for tender for this tool. We bid, among other people, and when I learned that we lost the bid, I called up and said, what was wrong with our bid? Says, no, nothing was wrong. The price was comparable to the chosen bid. I didn't know very well who was chosen, actually, very competent people. Price was good, proposal was good, but we had an equivalent proposal for pretty much the same price and, from equally competent people. So we went with this other company just to demonstrate and try out whether this monopoly thing works or doesn't work, and it does work. Conclusion. So, FL cost, plus license cost, guarantees you that you do not have monopoly for changes, support, certification material. For the customer, even if the fact that there isn't a monopoly here, aligns the vendor and the customer interest in providing a high quality product and services at competitive prices. We have customers that say, well, I don't really need your services, so I won't renew, I'll still use your software, but I won't renew. We have customers, most of them, that say, we really need your type of services. The price point where you're providing them is cost effective for us, so we're very happy to renew. And so the key point is, while people can comment that an open source development strategy has pluses and minuses, FLOSS is all about licensing, and it's a qualified plus for customers. FLOSS is all about the license, and it's all about customer freedom. So maybe this comes a little late in the game. You can certainly lobby your vendors, whether they're top or otherwise, so that when it is of value to you, you don't have to go systematically do this. When it makes sense for you, the vendor makes their software available to you. It doesn't have to make a public release to the entire world, but just to you. They make it available to you with a FLOSS license. A FLOSS license does not force the owner of the copyright to make a public release, does not force the owner of the copyright to give it to somebody else. It's just made available to you. The key point of my talk is that at the intersection of COTS and FLOSS, you have a free market. It's the free market where COTS software is made available to you under a free license, open source license. And last interesting thing, just to give some background for people who have heard all this blah, blah, blah about patents. First of all, I am not claiming that copyright is bad. I think copyright is good. Copyright is fair. And I also think that it is perfectly fair that some people decide to have restrictive license for their work, as it is absolutely fair that some people have some free licenses for their work. Difference here is that in both cases, a customer at the beginning has always the choice of switching costs. It might be expensive in some cases. RL costs remove this freedom, i.e. the freedom to keep the costs but switch vendor, while FL costs allow this. But my point is here is copyright is a good thing. It's fair that if I do something, it's not simply plagiarized by somebody else under different terms. So this is, to me, it's perfectly fair. Just to give you my view on US-style software patents, I don't want to get into the European discussion, but the US-style software patents forbids this. If you establish a US-style software patent on software, then the ability to switch costs is limited for the duration of the patents, which is, I don't remember if it's 20 or 20 years, 20, 25 years. That's all I have to say.
That's a lot. Thank you. We will have a session on licenses this afternoon. This is a good lead into it. I open the floor. Any comments, questions, remarks? Yes, please.
To understand your business model a bit better, can I get your software without paying anything?
There are two answers to that. Yes, you can, but we don't have to. So in our case, we don't need to provide the software available for free. As a matter of fact, we could perfectly shut down our Libre site and not provide it for free to anyone, but just to our customers for a fee. Then our customers could redistribute it. That's answer number one. Answer number two, the license that we've used on our Libre site is such that this free redistribution, this free distribution of a qualified piece of software, it's not just a bunch of source that we put down, that we put out there, it's qualified, it's complete, is made for people who do free software developments. What it means, it actually has some legal implications. It means that if you're using it to develop, say, an open source components, then GNAP Pro, developing your open source components in Ada with GNAP Pro is great. Actually, you call the Libre edition, the GPL edition. It's great. Why? Take, for instance, the example of the trajectory system. You know, you can make that available. You've got software. Assume it was written in Ada. What you can do is you can put that out. You can put out the compiler for all the platforms for which you want to support it and put that on a website so that people not only have the software, not only the build procedures, but they actually have the tools to keep developing the same way you did the development. In order to be able to focus on the free software, there is no reason we make it available for free for people who are not in the free software game. Our license is such that when it's downloaded from the net, it's for free software or open source development.
Lucas Contia, one first general comment. Many of these slides and details require much more discussion. We don't have the time for that. For your presentation, excellent, thank you very much. I have to digest all this to prepare needed questions. I would be happy to come back to you. One immediate question concerning your financial model.
Yes.
With regard to the subscription side, how do you serve specific advice? Because the demand from your customer may differ from one moment to another. Mm-hmm. And the subscription model gives a flat fee all over the period, but the demand may rise suddenly, substantially.
The cost is based on the number of developers that are covered, that are using the software and that are covered by our subscription. So the price, if there are 5 users, is not the same thing as if there are 50 users. So it's flat if you have the same amount of developers working on a set of projects. It goes down or it increases if your number of developers decreases or increases. And also the fee depends on how many configurations you want, how many platforms you want to have support for, whether it's native, Linux, Windows, Solaris, HPUX, etc., 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 or embedded, things like VxWorks or Bear development on the PowerPC.
Okay. Does this mean that in addition to the retainer, which is in fact what I understand, there's an additional cost coming when there is a specific requirement and demand for specific service, or you give it for...
No. The price is very simple. You say, for instance, we support 28 configurations. So you say, I have 15 developers, and I want GNAP Pro for Solaris, HPUX, and Linux, for instance. Then you have a price based on your request. If you want, you have a matrix, which is a function of the number of developers and the number of configurations that you take. And within this fee, then, it's an unlimited number of questions and reports that can be asked and that are serviced.
It's just one example. It would be a whole session. Just to tell you the financial models.
Yeah, following on from that, so how do you manage the amount of resource that each customer uses? Because I can imagine a customer basically have treating this as a blank check and
yes,
Coming up every day and saying, oh, can you buy this for me? Can you fix this for me?
How do we manage it? We manage it in the following way. Well, first of all, to be clear, you know, we sell a cost product. So within that cost product, the customer can say, how do I use this? What's the best way of using it? So it's making sure that the cost product is used very effectively in the project. It can be problem reports, in which case, you know, we fix it and we make available in a pre-release or in the next release, depending on what the customer wants. But it's true, we have an unbounded number of questions, and there is a big disparity between customers. Some customers ask a very large amount of questions. Some groups ask many questions at the beginning, and then, you know, they build expertise inside and they ask less questions. And on average, it works out. And it's true that some people ask many more questions than others. So it's more of a statistic. It's a statistical way of handling it. So, and we see, well, now we need to hire somebody else. Just to give you an order of idea, we're about worldwide, we're $10 million. I put it in dollars because in dollars always looks better these days. If it had been 5 years ago, I would put it in euros. And we're about 55 worldwide, about half and half on each continent. So in some sense, we are both a very small organization, you know, 55 people is not that big of an organization. At the same time, we're a large organization in the sense that out of these 55 people, 45 are really technical people, engineers, PhDs, people who have developed Ada. And also by being on a number of continents, we have the same IT needs than a larger organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question, and then we have to go to lunch.
Yeah, just one clarification. You talked about two types of monopolies created by proprietary licensing. One was a monopoly for creating derivative work,
mm-hmm.
and the other was a monopoly for effectively supporting,
mm-hmm.
right? And the examples you gave of why the Ada Core business model is not a monopoly,
mm-hmm.
all of them were examples of other companies creating derivative works. And that, to me, has nothing to do with your business model. It has to do with the license that you chose.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to ask you to name anybody, but is there anyone actually competing with you for your core revenue model, which is to say, is there anybody out there receiving a monthly subscription to answer questions about GNAP Pro?
On the version that from which they branched off, yes.
No. On your version.
On our version.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
There could be, but you see, that's the beauty of the story. There are actually other examples where people took what we did and they customized it for a specific situation. Why? Also think about why. Because we keep our prices and our infrastructure to be cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we were outrageously expensive, there would be a load of people out there.
Would there be? I'm being deliberately provocative. I'm not sure that there would be.
Why do you think so?
Because in practice that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting on the credentials of we are the creators of this technology, and no one has stepped up to say, well, yes, but in the intervening decade, I've achieved as much competence as they, then it's not a software licensing issue or anything else. There's something else going on there.
There's
a global community.
Yeah. Well, that's
why are there no experts outside of Ada Core?
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
That's a fair statement, but you also have to realize that it's sort of a chicken and the egg problem mm-hmm. because if we raise our prices outrageously, I can tell you that we'd be out of business very quickly.
Okay.
In a variety of ways, among which that one is a possibility. Now, I don't know whether that would actually happen until we do it, but we're not going to kill ourselves just to prove a point. Right?
No, that's probably a good idea.
So it's a chicken and the egg problem, so it's hard to know. But there is being a case made in the community that says, wouldn't it be nice if AdaCorp provided a solution for one developer at a cost of, you know, 500 euros. We know that that's not going to fly. And we said, fine, you know, if somebody else wants to take it up, fine. We don't think that business will succeed for a long time. The fact of the matter is we haven't had any competitions there because, you know, it's tough to serve a very specific market and a very, you know, technical market at those type of prices.
Okay, so for lunch, for those of you who weren't here yesterday, please follow us. It is downstairs and the lunch is free for all the people.